Hi, everybody. Welcome to Lancaster Club. Today, we're talking about getting a better God. So take a few minutes. We'll wait to let people come on for about 2 or 3 more minutes. Get yourself a glass of water and make sure you can stretch out comfortably. Lie down. Okay, welcome everybody. So glad you're here. Welcome to Lancaster Club. Good morning, afternoon, wherever you are. Please make sure you have a glass of water and plenty of space to stretch out. This will be a good session to lie down for. Let's open with a prayer. Holy Mother, Holy Father God, the sweet spirit of all life that we call love, the spirit that moves around us and above us and below us, through us, as us, experiencing us. We call on you to be with us today in this beautiful circle of light casters gathering around the world, coming together in the dedicated, sovereign embodiment of our divinity, one wavering step at a time. And we ask with great humility that we be blessed for this next hour and this day and this season, this quarter, this moon, this generation, with all that we need to take care of what comes before us, with the presence of mind, heart, soul, to be on earth, walking around, facing real problems with the spiritual tether to unconditional love. Help us to make this love real by acting it out in our daily life, in the most difficult and easy of circumstance, in the places that we feel most comfortable and the places that we feel most trepidatious. Please help us to take this tether with us into the situations where we feel righteous and justified and victimized. Please help us to take this tether into situations where we feel better than or above it all. Help us to take this unconditional love into the places where we feel ashamed and lonely and tired and over it. Help us to take this tether of unconditional love into every single one of our relationships, those that bring us the most joy, those that bring us the most challenge, those that we understand and those that we don't. Help us to show up for ourselves, for our day, for our lifetime, for our neighbors, our friends, and our family with the love that does not depend on condition, with unconditional love. That is the name of God. We say it is so, and so it is. Amen. Oh, 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 oh. and feeling beloved Mary Magdalene joining our circle, beloved Mother Mary joining our circle, and beloved Anna, grandmother of Jesus, mother of Mother Mary, and one of a million incarnations of the Divine Mother that really has no face and has no name. She that is us, she that is with us, she that birthed us and will be with us at the gates on the other side. We feel these beloved sisters, as well as our beautiful goddess mentor Isis, stepping to be with us as our friends in this circle today as we talk about God. And I just want to share on a personal note, thank you so much for understanding that I had to cancel on October the 9th. That was a difficult decision for me, but also one I didn't really have any choice in making. And just because of my family circumstances and a sick kid, and then there were these huge fires in Northern California that are still burning there, I believe completely under control, but they have devastated an area just about, 20 minutes north from where I live. We are totally safe and sound, and our city and town are fine, but the catastrophe that is seemingly unfolding everywhere on earth all at once, or at least I am becoming aware of all at once, was really close to our home. And that doesn't make it any scarier than catastrophes that are not close to my home, not at all. I just felt really sad and honestly quite, quite scared. And I think in a way I was grateful for the out to not have this class that day, because there is a huge part of me. I mean, a couple of things. One, who am I? I'm in my personal life and my journey as a mother, I'm struggling a little bit with a lot of fear and a lot of rage. And there's definitely these thoughts like, how can I give this talk about getting a better God and relying on a God that is unconditional love? And then also just in the last few weeks, feeling like really despondent about humanity and about what's going on the planet. Just feeling kind of like, oh man, is this really, really what I signed up for? And then simultaneously with the deep knowing that, yep, this is what I'm here for. How can I help? This is where I'm here. So I must be meant to be here. How can I help? And what work do I need to do? That's really the question that I think this concept of working with God is less about having the right practice or the right tools or even, like the right education, certainly not the right lineage. That there's none of that. This is a class, if you can call it that, a discussion about understanding that the home of God is within our body. So the second piece that I was so nervous about for this class was that we only have an hour together. And this feels like, like a deep dive, kind of a weekend retreat topic. And I had all kinds of writing ideas for everyone and lots of journaling invitations. And what came to me when I was meditating about the class this week was actually there needs to be none of that, because the place, the way to get a better God is simply by doing the breath and diving into the center of our cellular structure and experiencing that as the source of all consciousness, that is God, and really embodying that love. And while when we do breath work, that's not like instantly how we feel, sometimes it can take quite a long time to get to that place and even quite a few sessions. Still, personally, if I go to do my breath work, which I do try to do every day, and I start breathing, I share this a lot, that inevitably my first reaction is like, this is so dumb. Like, why am I doing this? This is just annoying. That's how I always feel, just annoyed. Like, ugh. And it's just nothing like the concept of a loving God. Nothing like that. It's all like complainy, bitchy, like ego. And if I just listened to that, if I just listened to the voices that said to me last week, like, just cancel the whole, just give up, don't get a better God, just give up. if I didn't continue to breathe long, slow, and deep by my mouth, then I would only know these facts that the home of God is in our body, and the home of God is the home of unconditional love. To me, they are facts. They are without a doubt. But I wouldn't embody it. So this is not a mental exercise. I'll talk a little bit. I do think it's helpful, imperative really, to discuss matters. But, you know, the answer's in the body. The answer's in the body. So let's be really clear that when we're talking about God in this circle, in this venue, we are only talking about that is unconditional love. That is simply the word that I have chosen to use in my lifetime. It is unrelated to any religion or spiritual teaching. It is unrelated to any dogma or lineage. It is just a simple word that speaks to my heart. If it does not speak to your heart, or you have any feelings of fear or resentment towards that word, first of all, I invite you to just hold it in the palm of your hand. And when you feel like it's the right time, and I guess this is the right time, to take some time to go inside of yourself and reconsider all that that word holds and see what it means to you. And be willing to take a look at all the ways that society, that culture, that religion, that schooling, that government has impressed upon you by way of telling you that God is anything other than love. But if it's really like not the word for you, then just replace it with something else. And I sometimes swing back and forth depending on my mood. I love to say the sweet spirit of all life. That sweet spirit that if, you know, when we're walking down the street, no matter how grumpy we are, if we take a deep breath and look for the humanity in the eyes of the people we're walking past, I'm thinking of my days in New York, really, that you just see the sweet spirit of all life. Or when a hummingbird passes you by, or when you see a beautiful baby smiling at you, or even in the face of death, we see the sweet spirit of all life. You could simply use the word love. Whatever word speaks to you, Allah, Buddha, Christ consciousness, divine feminine Christ consciousness, the great reality, whatever speaks to you. You heard? Okay. So very simply, for about 2,000 years on the planet, we've been indoctrinated to belief structures that tell us God is outside of us and must be approached with a mediator, someone who is better qualified, more ordained, with more power, perhaps education and clout than we have. And even if that's not the direct system that you've grown up in, I was schooled in a Catholic school for a little while. I'm not Catholic, and that's actually where I first encountered Mary Magdalene, and I loved the ritual of the Catholic Church. I loved the ceremony. It was always so beautiful, but what I didn't feel so great about was learning about, you know, hearing the story that Jesus was the Son of God and had died for my sins, and I don't know, it just I didn't make any sense. I liked Jesus. I liked learning about his life, and I just felt drawn to him. But that overarching message was not what I took from what I knew of him. But I was a young girl, so without the continuous empowerment that in fact what was true in my heart is actually the truth, of course I conformed to what I was being taught. I mean, and maybe not of course, because I do dream of a world where that is just not the way it is. You know, I was talking, I bumped into a woman, a friend, an acquaintance at the grocery store, and she was with her 3-year-old son, and I just had my baby. And we were talking for a while, like 7 minutes, and they had been eating lunch together. And finally, her son said to me, "Could you please go away?" And his mom said, "That's very rude. We don't talk like that." And I suppose we must teach our children like manners, but I really appreciated it.
I just felt like, man, what if the world was like that? And we all just said what we thought when we thought it. And everyone was backed by the unconditional love of God so that we could all, you know, we could take the heat. That we could take the heat. So there's a really strong message in this call about sacred activism and about the willingness, what that really means, sacred activism, and how that's really a call to stepping into our own power and saying yes to our own callings to face and help solve the problems on earth, of which there are many that you can choose from. And I believe it's important to do and work with what moves you and perhaps what you are deeply affected by, and to remember to avoid the tendrils of codependency and the idea that in fact you need to save the world and do everything by yourself and be involved in all of the things and be have a voice in all of the things and be educated on all of the things, that in fact your particular quality, the things that you love, those are great guideposts as to where you can begin in your activism. But understanding, so I, you know, I'll share briefly that I've had, you know, I've just had the experience of a miraculous recovery in my life, recovering from a disease that had me in its grips, both mentally, physically, and spiritually, and a disease that there's really no other solution for on the planet other than a spiritual solution. And so my experience was that I came to study God in my own way through desperation and out of a desire to save my own life, and really having no other choice. And experiencing a spiritual awakening that had, like, it was before I knew about crystals, it was before I was a meditator, it was before I worked with Mary Magdalene. The real spiritual awakening happened in my life when I was willing to look inside at the truth of who I was and how I had been living my life, and willing to look inside at the love that was inside of me that would help me walk through the recovery from all of that nonsense that I was living, and frankly, that I still live. This morning, I yelled at my three-year-old really loud, really loud. He wasn't feeling good. He was feeling sick, and it was the last thing that he needed. So, does that make me disqualified or somehow unspiritual? It's certainly not okay. This is not a call about finding a God that gives you permission to do all the bad behavior that you want and say, oh, well, I'm just a child of God. Not at all. This is about discovering and working with and cultivating a relationship with a God that loves us so much, that is with us so much, that is us so much, that it is unwilling to suffer in the face of bad behavior on our part or anyone else's part. That is not what life is meant to be about. And that this God, this power, this flame of life will be with us as we stand through any fire that we must go through in order to let go of old ideas about ourselves. So this is the God that we're looking for. The God I am looking for is a God that will walk with me into the scariest places. So, you know, it's like sacred activism and sacred leadership. Right? And what is leadership? Does it mean that I get out in front and boss everybody around, telling them where to go? Well, maybe, but you know, it doesn't really last. This is what we've seen on the planet for the last 2,000 years, right? Leadership as somebody who's more qualified or better educated or someone who somehow has the clout that you don't have, right? And that fundamentally at the bottom of all of these, every problem on earth, I think, is a disconnection from the sweet spirit of all life. And so that real leadership means that I'm willing to share my ideas and my inspirations confidently. Now, the word confident means with faith, confidence, with faith. Now, what do I have faith in? This is the real question of the class today. Where am I putting my faith? Because the truth is, many, many things can start to feel godlike when I put my power into them, because a lot of them will briefly work, right? many things I've put my power into, or things I've had faith in, other people, what are they thinking about me, my whiteness and my privilege, chocolate and coffee, yeah, basically any kind of food, drinking and drugs. I've put my faith in having the right crystal with me at the right time. I have put my faith in, I'm going to give this talk, and when I look out into the audience, I see the glimmer of approval and adoration, and that means I'm doing the right thing. Right? That is shakeable faith, because the time will come when my heart propels me to do something and say something that is so disruptive that I will look out into the audience and see nothing but, well, I don't want to manifest this, but where it will not be a sea of approving nodding heads. And in fact, if I don't sometimes have people that don't like me, disapprove of me, disagree with me, who aren't willing to speak up and say, you know, what you just said seems kind of like bullshit to me, then who am I? Who am I as a teacher? Who am I as a spiritual woman? Who am I as a leader? Who am I as a mother, as a human? But if I am to face that critique, which, you know, Mary Magdalene is very connected with the diamond light, which is like, you know, it sounds good, right? Like, I want a diamond. I want a big, sparkly diamond, right? Not really dealing with like the eons of time that a diamond must live really under pressure in order to be polished. Now, again, I want to be really careful to not fall into these paradigms that, frankly, I'd like to grow out of, paradigms of duality, like you have to live under pressure to become the diamond that you are meant to be. I do think that's sort of true today, but I don't want it to be true, so I'm not going to keep saying it. But the thing about the diamond is that she is multifaceted, and any way you look at her, she'll show you something new. I'm not looking at a diamond right now, but I am looking at a very special stone that I work with, and any way you look at her, she looks suddenly different, right? Depending on the light, the angle, the color of the room you're in, there's just an endless sea of getting to know her. And that is you, beloved. That is us. That is the God that lives inside of us, multifaceted, never-ending, infinite, just more love. Now, in order to get to know this God, this endless, multifaceted God within us, it means we must be willing to take a look, into the dark places, to take a look into the lonely places, to take a look into the places that feel they are not, quote, good enough to be in the light, to take a look at the places that have legitimately harmed others, knowingly or unknowingly, that feel like they must hide and defend. Because here is what happens, is when we live in a place inside of ourselves, unwilling to take a look at the whole picture, we must defend ourselves. When we are stepping forward with faith in the power with a little p, faith in other people, faith in outcomes, faith in, you know, certain amounts of money, certain circumstances, we it's not going to work. And if we're telling ourselves that that is in fact God, which we have been doing for the last 2,000 years, if I behave this way, I'm close to God, right? And there's so many different lineages and so many different traditions represented on this call. So I am generalizing, but I think it is true that in general, the religious teachings and much of even just the, you know, the spiritual teachings of these last 2,000 years have directly harmed our relationship with our sovereignty out of fear, right? And it's like the only thing that made that possible was a disconnection from the true source of God within us. So looking at the entire diamond, looking into all the dark corners is scary. It maybe has never been done before. You might be a pioneer in your family or just in your own life, having the courage to take a look. So what if instead of having confidence in outcome or ideas of purity or, being sin-free, which the word sin, by the way, just means without. So to sin is to be without God, and not without God because you're a sinner, without God because you forgot that God is with you all the time. To sin is simply to forget. And let's be clear, we're going to forget again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And then we just come back. Oh, what facet needs to be seen here? And when we have confidence in the true source of unconditional love that is God within us, it's like we have a strong, loving, funny, kind, interesting friend standing with us during every difficult and beautiful moment of our life. And that friend, when we look up into their eyes, we see is the eyes of the beloved, our own eyes looking back at us. This beautiful, never-ending, ginormous, soft, friendly God that is love. Nothing else will do, beloved. And nothing else is going to walk us through the times that we are here to live. Nothing else will help us to feel so safe that we can look at these old stale paradigms of hate and racism and oppression and genocide and rape consciousness and the idea that we are not in fact God and we are maybe victims of a God that is punishing. To look at all of that honestly, thoroughly, to look at all of that within us honestly, willingly, thoroughly, because we have this powerful friend by our side. Now, isn't that the nicest word for God you've heard? My powerful, funny, loving friend, God, coming from within me. Please find a comfortable way to lie down and stretch out. Make sure you have your water with you. Make sure that your throat is open and clear. And just right now, sealing in the truth that we'll have this nice time together, this beautiful container, and then we'll walk into the world and we're going to forget. We're going to sin and feel like we're on our own. And then we'll remember. We'll see a butterfly or hear a song or see the twinkle in another's eye, and we will remember, oh, I am the home of God. And I don't know if I've talked about it here, but the word Magdalene comes from Magdala, her hometown, her Palestinian hometown. That's right. Magdalene is from Palestine. And that word, Magdala, those tones make this a word of fortress or temple, tower, home. Safe haven. So the Magdalene is the home of God. You are the home of God. Please open your mouth and start to breathe long, slow, and deep by your mouth. Ooh.
feeling your spine on the floor, your tailbone on the floor, the backs of your thighs and your heels on the floor, the back of your head on the floor, feeling the floor connected to the earth, feeling the earth connected to the center of the center of the earth, and feeling the earth as the beautiful star that she is, and feeling the energy of her multifaceted beingness, feeling the energy of the embodiment of God that she is, the embodiment of Sophia, the embodiment of Christ that she is, and feeling this energy, this reflection, this friendliness coming into your body from the back of your body, just not pushed, but just gently waved into you by Mother Earth, feeling your breath moving long, slow, and deep from the very bottoms of your feet to the crown of your head. Feeling your breath become like a wave, like a watery blessing, a baptism moving through you that you don't have to control, you can just ride. And feeling this wave taking you into the places where God isn't. So asking yourself, where does it feel like God is not inside of me? And letting your breath take you there now. For many, I believe it is in the first, second chakra, the third chakra, the womb space, the solar plexus space, the abdomen space, also in the back shoulder space, the space of the wings, in the middle of the eyebrow, the third eye space. Keep breathing. And letting your breath come to this place that feels perhaps ugly, unlovable, unworthy, unseeable, unknowable, perhaps deep in your yoni. Let your breath come to this place and just show you how to be with this place. You don't have to control it. You just let it ride. Pick up the pace. Keep breathing. Keep breathing, letting your breath be the guide and the medicine. It's not an intellectual exercise. Keep breathing. So we've all sinned. In my darkness, I remember. We will all sin again. Mama's words, will you turn? And it's in the darkness that we go surrender to the good Lord. To surrender to the good Lord. And we go to the river. Take me to your river. On the waves of our breath. Feeling renewed, baptized, anointed by the never-ending flow of the Divine Mother that runs through us as our own blood, as our own breath, keep breathing, as our own fluids, our own sweat, our own secretions, our own salt water. Keep breathing. As a man with many crops, come up ahead. As my sins flow down the Jordan. Oh, I want to come here and every part of me, but there's blood on my hands. Keep breathing. And my lips are unclean.
Take me to your river. Keep breathing. Feeling your breath perhaps moving like a whirlpool spiral. Feeling your hips move in accordance with this power. Letting your body move by the power of your breath. Perhaps in weird, ununderstandable ways. So that your breath starts to show you how to move, to loosen up these dark places. Not to change them, but to let them relax. That's it. Keep breathing. Continuous breath, picking up the inhale as soon as the exhale completes. How do you feel? What is happening in your body? Normal to feel dizzy, a little lightheaded. Keep your breath moving steady, smooth, one into the next. Inhale, exhale, right away inhale. You might feel dizzy, you know, a little tingly. It's okay, you're not gonna fall through the floor. You're just at the doorway. Keep breathing. Moving your breath now through the belly. Inhale, heart. Exhale, out. Inhale, belly. Inhale, heart. Exhale, out. Inhale, belly. Inhale, heart. Exhale, out. Inhale, belly. Inhale, heart. Exhale, out. Feeling these places that felt dark and unworthy. Dark because they were not seen, not because dark is bad. Feeling yourself now coming to the question, where is God? Belly, heart, exhale. Where is God? Belly, heart, exhale. 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 There it is, belly. Heart, exhale. Belly, heart, exhale. I'll be the moon when the sun goes around, down. Where does God live inside of me? Show me the places where the love comes from. Show me the truth of who I am, breath. Belly, heart, exhale. Belly, heart, exhale. Belly, heart, exhale. Good. Belly, heart, exhale. Keep breathing. When you think you're there, there's more to go, you know? Just keep going. Keep breathing. It's not much work. Belly, heart, exhale. Belly, heart, exhale. Belly, heart, exhale. That's so deep and wide, never ending. Show me the source of infinite God. Show me the source of infinite grace inside of me. I am the home of God. I am Magdalene, the home of God.
Belly, heart, exhale. Belly, heart, exhale. Belly, heart, exhale. Belly, heart, exhale. Good. And now feel your body and feel these places within you that are showing you the infinite well, the infinite way of love coming through you, pouring through you, from you, as you feel it. Isn't that magnificent? That is the source of God. So how does it feel? And what is it telling you? Take a moment to receive any downloads. Good. And now, what's next? Remember, we are tethered to the source of unconditional love. Now you feel it. So we ask again, who inside of here does not feel the light of God? Who inside of this body does not feel holy and whole? Show me these places now. And you keep breathing, belly, heart, exhale, this Holy Trinity breath, right? All three parts, the mother, the daughter, the Holy Spirit, the body, the soul, and the breath that connects them, belly, heart, exhale, belly, heart, exhale. So you are tethered to this place that is all of you, and you can now go and be with whatever the next level of doubt is. You can go find the even darker facet, you see? So go, follow the breath. She shows you the places that still feel unloved. Perhaps it's a story from your life that you feel is just unacceptable behavior on your part, or a harm that was done to you that you feel makes you somehow not worthy. Belly, heart, exhale. Belly, heart, exhale. Perhaps it's a time you didn't speak up, or perhaps it's a time you said the very most wrong, hurtful thing. Belly, heart, exhale. So now, tethered to this highest of vibrations, to this greatest, highest light manifestation of you as an embodiment of the Holy Spirit, you dive deep into the multifaceted sea of the unconscious and swim down by the power of your breath to be with these other places. Because what good is God if she can't go to these scariest places? Now keep breathing. This time now, we're going to pick up the pace, two-part breath. Inhale by the mouth. Drop it. Inhale. Drop it. Inhale. Completely relax. Inhale. Like a rubber ball bouncing. This will really pick it up. This will really take you there. You're going to feel dizzy. You're going to feel uncomfortable. Keep breathing. Stay with it. I have a song for a prayer for you. You from your breath, because it's you're just getting so much expansion. Bring your look down, let your eyeballs look down, even if your eyes are closed, stare towards your face and touch your thighs and let yourself be grounded. So you bring whatever channelings and downloads are coming through you, from you, as you, down to earth, anchoring literally with your hands, holding down this miraculous information through your body, anchoring heaven on earth. Keep breathing. Good. Taking this place, the sea of unconditional love, this brilliant white light, the seventh plane of creation that is walking around on earth as an incarnation called you, taking her and diving again deeper down, whoom, into the multifaceted sea of your unconscious, into the places that feel ashamed and alone and unseeable, unlovable. Taking your diamond light, multifaceted, brilliant God consciousness into these unconscious places and giving them your radical attention and invitation to just be without any healing application or plea to be better or different, with simply a pure witnessing and presence. Long, slow, gentle breath now by the mouth. Letting these most hardened places soften on their own time, in their own way, knowing you can always come back to them. If this structure and timeline isn't quite right for you today, you can always come back to them. Your breath is yours. No one can take it from you. And even if someone does, that knowing your breath lives on into the mystery. I'm just having, you know, this download, this remembrance, this, you know, that actually our breath can be taken from us. I can't breathe. And with the real truth that the fact that when we die, our breath lives on mysteriously is not a good enough reason to let horror and atrocity happen on earth. That if we use God and spiritual tools as a way to get out of facing the problems on the earth, we are in fact doing the same thing that this oppressive dualistic system of God as something outside of us has been doing to us for all of these years and lifetimes. That we must stand with our feet on earth. Please keep breathing. Palms on the thighs. Breathing. Being the truth of spirit. As we serve and help, as we listen, as we look into the parts of ourselves that are very much a part of the problem, and as we allow to be ourselves to be taught and educated without the fragility of putting our power solely on things that are really breakable and really fragile, including whiteness, including able-bodiedness, including cisgenderedness, including class, including stories of victimization, including feeling above it all because you've had a taste of the divine, knowing that none of those things are in fact God, but places to bring God. Oh, 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 long, slow breath by the mouth. Taking now the next 5 minutes in silence, feeling the incredible downloads that are coming through your body. You might feel them as even just a buzzing to begin with. Your vibe, your frequency, and feeling how that frequency is communicating with you and everyone around you all the time, without words, without the masculine structure of language, but in the pure light language of the goddess. Take a moment to enjoy in
joy. Keep breathing by your mouth. Knowing that whatever's come to you, you will remember what you need and absorb what you don't need to remember. You will certainly embody this download from here forward. And you will also forget, and then you'll remember. Taking a moment to seal this download, this message from you as you and the power of your breath with a prayer of a continued willingness to do these sweeps, these dives as tethered to unconditional love, to all the places that feel unloved, unsafe. You know, I've heard the story of a tribe in Africa, and perhaps it's, I don't know if it's only in this one tribe, where before a mother gives birth, she hears the call of her unborn child, and she goes to the woods or to, you know, in solitude to listen and hear the song of this child. And once she gets the song downloaded to her, she goes back to her beloved and sings him the song, and they make love and sing the song. And as she's becomes pregnant, she sings the song. And while she's pregnant and living her life with the baby growing inside of her, she sings the baby the song, and she teaches it to everyone in her community so that they know this baby's song. And as she's giving birth, she sings the song, and the midwives sing the song. And when the baby is born and needs to be comforted, she sings the baby the song. And when the baby becomes bigger and starts running away too far, the people in the village can sing the song and say, "Hey, come back, here's your song." And then one day, when the child grows up and does something wrong and hurts another person, the entire community gathers around this being. They put them in the middle of the circle and they sing them their song. And this is the home of God. Fake God is the God of perfectionism, of being any, quote, thing at all. And real God is this messy, mysterious dance that always ends in love. The real God is the force of courage and willingness to step into this messy dance on earth and to sing the song to all the places within that have forgotten who they are. And to sing the song by being the song, by living the example as an embodiment, because your own practice is so strong. And by strong, I mean disciplined. And by disciplined, I mean that you are a disciple to your own heart, that you are unwilling to compromise the joy in your life, that you are unwilling to compromise those things that bring you the greatest glee and inspiration, that you are unwilling to compromise your thorough search within for the places that are not, that could be doing better. And by better, we mean more aligned with God. Do you see? That is our prayer, that we embody this God of truth and love that has nothing to do with any ideas of perfectionism. And that as we go forward today, we look out for perfectionism as it keeps us sucked into ideas about beauty and who we are and how we should look and how we can act, and sucked into ideas of staying silent in the face of injustice and staying quiet when things are not right, because we're afraid of offending someone or afraid of not doing it right. From this day forward, we go out supported and loved, and knowing we are supported and loved by the God that is within us, moving through us as us. And that all we need to remember this is a few deep breaths. And so it is. Amen. Thank you, Lightcaster. Sending you all my love.